You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. We now present the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan.
Welcome to the Catechism Hour with me, Brother Justin Bonnier of the Heralds of the Gospel. Today we're going to be talking about the role of prophets in the Old Testament. And what does a prophet do? What does it mean? Why was it important? And later on we're going to address another issue, which is very quickly, which is the question of prophecy within the New Testament. But at this point, we're going to keep at the point of what is the role of prophets. The root of the word prophet is prophēē, which means to speak for. A prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of someone else. Therefore, a prophet is the spokesman or woman of God. Now, call to mind the different prophets that we have in the Old Testament. Let's call to mind Moses and Aaron. Remember, Moses replies to God that he cannot do the job that God has called him for because he stammers. And then God in turn says, Aaron will be a prophet for you and you will be like a god. So it's sort of like Moses is the great prophet of God. Aaron is the prophet of Moses. Now, what do prophets do? They are messengers, spokesmen. But this does not always entail the question of telling the future. And that's where things have gone wrong, is that we look at prophecy or prophets as though it is always a question of telling of the future. And that is not true. It's not inferred in the word prophet, nor is it proven throughout the Old Testament. The prophet, you may say, had a role. The prophets were like farmers or gardeners for God. They cultivated God's garden, the chosen people, so that it would be beautiful and prepared for when his son came. You may say the image that our Lord uses of the vineyard with those messengers who are calling upon the ones who are taking care of the vineyard, and they badly treat them, etc. That is exactly the role of the prophet, to do the work of the father, the owner. So what does these prophets do? As a farmer, and we can imagine a farmer here, and what they do, what is their work? Or a gardener, it both work. Firstly, it's cutting and pruning. Getting rid of sin, cutting it out of the chosen people, pointing out what they're doing wrong, pointing out when they have gone astray, when they are in the right path to strengthen them. Very much like how a gardener would with a small sapling, put little sticks beside it and bind it up, make sure it grows straight. Or a person who has a vegetable garden in which they pluck out the weeds. Granted, that hoeing of that yard, of that plot, is difficult, and it might say, for the soil, it's being agitated, but by being agitated, it becomes more fruitful. Watering, to hear the word of God, the water that comes down, that water that is the grace of God into their souls. When they forget to listen to the word of God, they then become dry and arid. They become drought-ridden. And this is a problem for the chosen people in the Old Testament. And of course, this has its reflections in the New. But let's look at the, we're keeping our eyes on the Old, the various prophets in the Old Testament and how they bring the word of God. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts. God, thus says the Father of Israel. This was that word of God, that oracle of the Lord, speaking that word upon them. A powerful word, but it wasn't always telling the future. Again, I go back to that point. It wasn't that these prophets were fortune tellers. They were God's spokesmen. And then weeding, throwing away the false gods, taking the sins away from the people, showing them towards what was right. Even if that be a bit painful, that was necessary. The prophet's role was to remind the people of their covenant. Don't forget, that covenant can only be renewed by the stakeholder who has the larger part. So that's God. So God constantly renews that covenant with the chosen people, even though the chosen people are not faithful to it. Later on, he will use by signs various prophets that he wants them to see where they've gone wrong. And in that going wrong, he wants them to call back to that covenant. So we're going to have a break now. And then when we get back, we're going to continue looking at the prophets and in their role in the Old Testament in Jewish history. Back in a quick moment.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan.
Welcome back. So the prophets are calling the chosen people back to this faithfulness to the covenant, the same covenant that was made and renewed through Moses, through Jacob, to Isaac, and Abraham. The role of messenger becomes interesting because if God were to use the same method every time, as we know when we teach, I know when I teach, if I use the same method, the children at one point turn you off. They've heard that message already once or twice, and you need to come up with a new method. You need something different. You need something to catch their attention, to make them pay attention to something new, that nugget of knowledge that you have for them that they are not putting into practice. So these prophets, they use different and varied methods. Sometimes it's thus says the Lord. It's direct, as the word of God said. Other times they use poetry. Some of the most touching poetry in the Old Testament are the images that are inspired by God through the gifts of the prophets. We have David and Solomon, Proverbs and Psalms and what have you. Or it's great actions, and that's Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who is this young man who's called by the Lord. He's called from birth to this great faithfulness. He's known as this great believer. And then God calls him to be a sign for Israel. And it shocks the people. He marries the local harlot. He marries the local prostitute. And they don't understand. And the people are like, we don't understand. And she is doing her thing, unfaithful to the marriage covenant. Finally, the rulers of the people come to explain to us what's going on. And he says, this is what you've done in your covenant with God. God makes his covenant, his marriage bond with you, and then you are unfaithful with the Gentiles all around us. He takes a jar and he breaks it. This is what's going to happen to the people because of your unfaithfulness. So this is kind of important when we look at the Old Testament. Not everything is meant to be taken exactly as said. Some of it is using poetic license. And this is a method of teaching to get through layers of hardness of heart, which we acquire when we hear the voice that calls us to greater and greater things, but we're unwilling or not generous enough to give. So there are what are known as the major prophets and the minor prophets. Let's go through them, and then I'm going to explain what the differences between the two groups are. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Abudah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Abuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. What's the difference between the two groups? Major prophets left behind extensive writings. Minor prophets were less extensive. It doesn't mean they were better or worse, or they were more important or less important. As you see, Elijah is not here. Elisha is not here. Moses is not here. And of course, we acknowledge him as some of the greatest of God's messengers in that period. The prophets, understanding their role and understanding how they fit in the timeline of the Old Testament is also very important. Why is that? Because God spoke to the people, speaks to us very much in the same way that a parent speaks to their child. When the child is very small, the parent speaks very simply. The expectations of responsibility are minimal, if any. But as the child grows, those responsibilities grow also. And as they grow, the language changes. The call to responsibility, the call to love, the call to answering this call, to listening, becomes different. And with the coming of Jesus, that fullness has arrived. And that's where we have Jesus saying, Moses said this, I say something different because of your hardness of heart. Moses needed to do that. But I tell you something better. But let's look at the prophets. And you might actually begin to look at the prophets a little bit differently after this episode, because the role of the prophets is very important. Why is it very important? Well, it's very important because the first prophet is Abel. And that is because that's how our Lord refers to him, saying, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary, yes, I tell you, it is required of this generation. And that is Luke 11:51. So Abel is called a prophet by Jesus. And in Luke 11, he's talking about religious leaders. Abel is Abel the just, the first one to offer that perfect sacrifice. And he's struck down by his brother because of jealousy, because of hatred. But his communion with God, he becomes a sign of faithfulness of God. Abraham. Now, why is he a spokesman? You may say, well, he's kind of a beginning. When Amalek took Abraham's wife for himself, the Lord appears to Amalek and warns him that this woman is the wife of a prophet. Genesis 20:3 and 4. But knew not of Amalek's fault. But the Lord told him, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. The role of a prophet being an intercessor between God and man. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Genesis 27. The role of the prophet is beloved by God because he does the will of God. Amos. Amos is one of the 12 minor prophets. He preached against the northern kingdom, Israel, and wrote during a time of relative peace and prosperity, but neglect of religion. This is a common problem. When there's prosperity, neglect comes in. People forget to get down on their knees and pray and give thanksgiving for the blessings they've received. Daniel, another minor prophet, but there's nothing minor about him. And that's what's a fascinating thing. Again, I go back to that point I mentioned before, in which the minor prophets were minor because of their writings. Their writings were not as extensive. He was taken into captivity at a very young age. And he never left God's law. No matter how much and how many attempts at his life and how many temptations came his way, he never gave up. Another prophet would be David. We know he was a messenger of God and that God used him and spoke to him. And he's very human because of his falls. He fell so many times, but he acted on behalf of God. And we know that he is a prophet because we look at Psalms 21, 22, and 23. And it shows this. And he also ends up in that famous section in Hebrews known as the Hall of Faith. All of the heroes of the Hebrew times. Where the author of the book of Hebrews says, and what more shall I say? For time shall fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and of all the other prophets. Deborah, the time of the judges, when once again the Israel cried out for deliverance. Why did they call out for deliverance? Because they were unfaithful to their covenant. And they faltered again. This circle is a constant repeating element that exists within the Old Testament. God would bless them. They would recognize God. They would renew the covenant. They would prosper. When they prospered, they would forget him. they'd fall into sin. They would fall into subjection to the foreign peoples. They would cry out to God for help. They would be saved. They would come back in the covenant. And then they continue this circle time and time again, very much in how we are in our spiritual lives. And so I quote here Judges 4:14, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Zabadoth, was judging Israel at that time. And this courageous woman of God led Israel to victory by prophetizing to and encouraging Barak up. For this day is when the Lord had given Sesa into your hands. Does not the Lord go out before you? Not a man was left. And we find that in Judges. Deborah is this fascinating figure. She is able to tell us and be that messenger to another prophet of Barak and gives Barak that strength and certainty of his mission. Elijah. Now, Elijah is one of the best known of all the prophets. He's one of the most powerful, one of those fascinating stories. And it's also because the Jews are expecting Elijah to come back someday. And that's because in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, it's mentioned. Elijah is taken up to heaven, apparently never tasted death. Who else is like that? Well, we know Enoch was like that. Who else was like that? Well, in the New Testament, Our Lady is like that. And if you're looking it up, look for Kings, 2nd book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Elisha. Elisha is the perfect disciple. Elisha holds the mantle of Elijah's ministry, and he asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit at his departure. Elisha ends up doing twice as many miracles as Elijah did, and that's because of his faithfulness to Elijah. Again, we look at that point of intercession. It seems God loves intercession. He likes to have layers. One thing it promotes is humility. People ask of God through another, asking someone else to pray for us. Enoch. We know about Enoch in the 5th chapter of Genesis. And also as a prophet in the book of Jude. Enoch, 7th from Adam, prophesies about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of holy ones to judge everyone, to convict all of them who have done ungodly acts, that they have committed their ungodliness, and all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 1:14-15. So this is something fascinating, right? All these people who spoke on behalf of God. There's many. Ezekiel. He again speaks about the prophecies regarding the destruction of Jerusalem. Why? Because of the sin of the people. But also the restoration of Israel in his era of the temple visions while in Babylon. During that 70 years in Babylon, that element that have keep trust, return to the Lord and everything will be good. Habakkuk is the 8th of the minor prophets. But we know very little about him. Though the funny part that we tell the children in class is that he was the one that the Lord took him and his lunch to bring to Daniel because Daniel was hungry. So he was God's messenger, but also his delivery boy for his lunch. So that's a point that we have. The prophets are varied. Some write beautiful poetry. Some write in different means. And we're going to continue going through these prophets. But keep in mind, the prophets didn't end. In the New Testament, we have Anna. I quote, there was Anna, prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, Luke 2:36. And she was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, Luke 2:38. Like Simeon, another prophet, saw the redemption coming in the Redeemer. So God keeps his messengers, constantly sending out these messengers, hoping that the people will listen. And in listening, they will attune their ear. And in tuning their ear, they will open their hearts. So we're going to continue on this point of prophecy. But don't forget, We too are called to be prophets in our world today. And these prophets should give us strength to in this prophetic role that we have received through baptism, through our confirmation, to be a God's messenger in a world that has forgotten him and his covenant. Keep that in mind. When we look at the Old Testament, apply it to the new. It's the cookie crumbs. It's the code to understand the new properly. And the new to understand the old, and we ourselves to understand what our calling is. So, we're going to go into a break, and then we'll continue looking at these prophets and seeing how we ourselves can turn ourselves, become more like them, and in this way be a greater witness to Jesus Christ in this world.
You are listening to the Catechism Hour, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice, wherever you are. To contact us, you can tweet us at Radio Maria Can or email catechismhour@radiomaria.ca.
Welcome back. Okay, so let's continue with our prophets and how this is going to affect us, ourselves, and how we're going to be greater Christians by looking at the Old Testament and seeing from them how they interacted in a world that may have rejected the Word of God at that time and how difficult it was. Let's continue. Hosea. Hosea's name means salvation, but it's often seen as the default prophet of doom. But the Jews, and actually all under the doomsday prophecies, they give a hint of the restoration. But these doomsday points will be done during an era of prosperity and which they have forgotten God. And they need to be shaken up to wake up to this reality that they're still sleeping. But Hosea has two parts to it. One is talking about the restoration, but talking about God's tenderness. This would be one of the prophets that you would see that correspond more to the Jewish people entering into their adolescence. They're rebelling, but they're understanding their responsibilities. Huldah. Huldah was a prophetess of God and the king. Priest and other important men went to her to inquire about God. Women were important in the Old Testament. Though they weren't as a society, there wasn't much place for them, but in the Jewish faith there was. The Jewish family circled around the mother. And that role was very important. Isaiah the prophet, whose name literally means Yahweh's salvation. Think about it, Yahweh's salvation. And Jesus quotes extensively from Isaiah. And we find that throughout the Gospels. Constant quotes from Isaiah. It talks about the sorrowful servant. And this is something very important because it became so controversial that in the early church, the Jewish community forbid the reading of Isaiah because it pointed the Christians would use it as an apologetic text. The Messiah suffering in Isaiah 53, it's an amazing text. We read it during the Easter Triduum. You read it and you can apply it directly to the person of Jesus Christ. It also talks about where Jesus was going to come from, how he would minister. Now, some biblical historians say that there might have been actually three Isaiahs, so three generations of prophets. And the reason for that is that the timeline is very long. Either that or he lived for an incredibly long time. But Isaiah is referred to by many of the early church fathers as the fifth gospel because of how clearly it speaks about the person of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah. That was, Jeremiah was what I was speaking about at the beginning. He's also known as the weeping prophet because he keeps calling the people and they keep ignoring. And every time he tells them, they don't listen. He's a major prophet because of how much of his writings are still with us. He warned Judah time and time again about the coming destruction, but no one wanted to listen. And that Jerusalem was going into captivity. And again, they did not listen. God had warned Jeremiah to warn the nation, even though God said they won't listen. He, in a sense, is like a prophet who is guaranteed to fail. Guaranteed to fail. And for us, when we go through difficult points in our lives, we should look upon Jeremiah because Jeremiah is an example for us. He's an example because it doesn't work. People don't listen. And in not listening, they hit their doom. And then they blame Jeremiah. When we use our prophetic gifts that we have given to us at baptism, and we become that stone of scandal, that stone that divides, we are many times accused of being failures. But more than that, that when things do work out badly, it's our fault also. And it's because of a lack of responsibility. People don't take responsibility. So we can see this lack of listening in Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 30, chapter 5, verse 3, chapter 6, verse 17. Joel is one of the 12 minor prophets again, prophesies about the day when the Lord would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and that they would speak prophecies and dreams and visions, and they would be enlivened by his grace. And this is taken as a quote talking about Pentecost and the early church, that it began to open up to all peoples and to bring them into this communion with God, this covenant that would be everlasting, this point of joy. Why was it so important? Because they were in captivity. Everything seemed to be done. Everything seemed to be finished. Jonah, the prophet who tried to run away from God. And we know that through the story, the book of Jonah, in which, and I've heard this said, but he gives much hope to many of us because we run from our vocation, that prophetic moment that we're called to being something. And he looks at it and goes, I don't like those people in Nineveh. They don't deserve salvation. They don't deserve this. And God calls him. And he tries to take a boat to the opposite direction. And a storm and what have you happens. And then they say, okay, we have to figure out why the gods are against it. He says, no, it's me. It's me. And he throws himself into the water and the whale eats him up and he is spat out at the shore of Nineveh. He has a mission, but he doesn't want to do it. He's half-hearted. And he lets his personal problem with these people get in the way, and they radically convert, radically change. And in that radical change, he's upset because now he's a failure. Now his words haven't happened. But what happened is God had mercy. And in that mercy of God, they had converted. And our Lord uses Jonah as an accusation against his generation because they received much less and they did much, much more. So he was a witness against Nineveh. But his prophecies are primarily to the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel is where most of the tribes went. They separated from Judea. They separated and when that point, that issue, they will separate and they'll become Samaria and they will be pulled out by the Assyrians. And they will lose, most of them will lose their faith. Malachi. Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament and wrote about the coming of one who was prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah in the spirit of Elijah. And that was about, that's considered to be about John the Baptist. It was basically the people had come to, when our Lord came, it was a fullness of time because people had come to the end. They needed that next step. They needed the change. The political situation was a disaster. The religious situation was almost worse. The Pharisees, who were risen by God's grace to be something special, had completely gone in the wrong direction. The scribes who knew all the right things didn't do them. The priestly class didn't believe in anything. They were worldly atheists of sorts. So we have this question, right? Malachi is like saying, the spirit of Elijah is coming back. He will call and prepare the way for the Lord, make straight a way, because everything is crooked, everything is disastrous. And that role of being someone who levels planes and makes straight the way for the Lord is the role of a prophet. The prophet Micah. Micah, who is like unto God? The same is this root of the word Michael. He was a contemporary of Amos, Isaiah, and Hosea. And he directed his prophecy specifically to Jerusalem. And like all the prophets, he warned them against their sin. And he was ignored. He was ignored. Moses, the great prophet, not just a religious leader of Israel, but also the lawgiver. Moses prophesies of the coming of the one who God would raise up for you a prophet like me among you from your brothers. It is to him that you shall listen, Deuteronomy 18:15. And whoever rejects him rejects God, Deuteronomy 18:20. Naum, who comes between Micah and Habakkuk, prophesies the coming end of the Assyrian Empire and the fall of Nineveh. Nineveh reconverted, but they fell away again. Nathan, the prophet that King David typically consulted, and of course, Nathan is the one who makes that story about the lamb that was stolen and his owner was killed. And then David's enraged with his gift of justice that he still had. And Nathan looks at him and says, "You are that man." David falls on his sword in a way. He says, it's true, I have sinned against God. Abadad was a minor prophet whose name means servant of God. Looked forward to the end of the captivity. That captivity was something that grated the Jewish people. They lost the temple. They lost their means of worship. That was when the advent of the synagogue system started, because they didn't have a temple. The temple came back, but the synagogues remained. And when the second temple was destroyed, the synagogue stayed with us. Samuel, the prophet, was grieved when Israel asked for a king, but God knew it wasn't Samuel that they were rejecting, but it was God himself. 1 Samuel 8:6. God used him for the anointing of Israel's first two kings, David and Saul, and in communicating God's will to these kings. Zechariah, one of the minor prophets too, whose name means God is remembered. It is very fitting because he is a prophet of Judah and was of the priestly line, just as Ezekiel. Zephaniah, the last in alphabetical order. Zephaniah was a minor prophet. But there's nothing minor about his prophecies. His prophecies were powerful. But his name means concealed of God. And he was a contemporary of Jeremiah. And he also talked about what was going on with the chosen people. Now, there's others who were also prophets. We have Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob. We have Joseph the dreamer. In the New Testament, we can look at the apostles being God's messengers because Christ sends them out. Saul and Barnabas, in the sense that they went out and they were prophets. They taught. In the early church, this messenger element, they instructed the churches. But the prophets, take another one, Miriam, the sister of Aaron and Moses. She would speak the word of God, but also she would be a songwriter. She was in poetry and lyrically. And we say that during the Triduum of Easter, the Song of Miriam. And when she and Aaron spoke against God, she was punished. So was Aaron. And they needed to ask Moses to pray for them to God. Even though they had a relationship with God, there was a hierarchy of that relationship. And when they broke that, God protected his prophet. We could go on and on and on about the prophets of the New Testament. John the Apostle. And then we look at the churches. We read in the epistles that the early churches were filled with people who spoke on behalf of God. We look at the early doctors of the church. We look at the fathers of the church, the mothers of the church. And we see how God always acts. But we cannot forget that this prophetic charism exists in our baptism. And in our baptism, we are called to be just like them as messengers of God to a world that doesn't listen. Sometimes we will be Jonah, in which everyone will listen. Everyone will be receptive and everything will be wonderful. But more times than not, we'll be Jeremiah's. Jeremiah, who's called by God to hide the covenant, hide the Ark of the Covenant. And when he does that, When he hides it, it's never to be found again. God had taken it away and was waiting for a better covenant to make in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's very important when we look at the role of prophets. Please, let's erase the idea about a fortune teller and begin to look at it as someone who speaks on behalf of God. And then we can see how ourselves can be prophets in our families, in our workplaces, and in our church. Heeding the word of God and putting it into action. It's always comical when, for myself, I'm teaching this class on prophets, and the children immediately insist on that prophets mean that you tell the future. And it's true. Sometimes it is telling of the future, but its vehicle is not the future. The vehicle is the present. The vehicle is what we need to change today. A prophet is truly powerful when he is a symbol of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would be the greatest of all the prophets. But it was not so much talking about the day of tomorrow, but the day of today and the changing of the hearts of those who were around him, that they would be ready for the new covenant, that new covenant that was given to us in the Eucharist. That is the new covenant, the eternal covenant that's renewed every time we go to Mass. So let's keep that in mind and let's see if we can adapt that to ourselves. And then we look at it and say, I'm going to be a prophet to my brothers, in my family, to myself. When I'm tempted, I will do right and not do wrong. Simeon, of course, was a prophet. He said to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, for a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce through your soul also. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Luke 2:34-35. We need to live this reality. All of these prophets are just the beginning of how many prophets there were. Because we read in the book of Nahum, you see that there were many prophets, but they didn't leave us any literary heritage. And in not leaving us that literary heritage, we don't have a way of recalling them. But God knows who they were. Look at John the Apostle. He gives us this book of Apocalypse, the unveiling, the opening of a prophetic character, which until today, the church continues to interpret it. Where do we fit in? Jesus himself was described as a teacher and prophet, even though he is truly God. We read in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, we can clearly see he prophesies about the end times. But at the same time, he says it's not for us to know when or where. So with this idea about the prophetic element, we prepare ourselves to continue on our voyage, our trip going forward, but knowing who these prophets were and are, and their role within our church today also. So with that put, we'll continue on our journey next week, and we'll continue to look at that role, the role in which it plays within our lives, and how the chosen people interacted with these various prophets. So we'll ask in a special way that you review this, you look at it, and ask for their intercession, as they are friends of God. They're truly saints, you would say. And let's ask that we ourselves kindle that same prophetic spirit within our hearts. Thank you very much, and God bless.
You have been listening to the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.